Good morning, everyone. I so appreciate Elena and Diana for reasons that I will try to explain. Many years ago, one of the very first times I think I stood up here, I wasn't married yet, but I was following Diana around, and I followed her to, of all things, a choir rehearsal. And I thought, later, this is in recollection, man, I must have been in love, because I can't sing. And in God's good grace, George very politely pointed this out to me, and I'll tell you how he did this. The choir was singing. I was attempting to sing. And I saw George cock his head and say, something's just not right. So the next, try it again. And I mouthed the words, yep, now you got it. And I thought, okay, we all know what the problem is. So that was, I'm very grateful for Diana and Elena and the kids that can sing the choir as well. So I just thought I'd share that because as I come up here, it's an interesting flood of memories. I've come, we've been guests, we're part of the family. It's just nice to be here. So thank you for the invitation. Oops, okay. This morning, I'll be reading from Luke chapter 2. Very common Christmas story. In fact, as I was looking at it, I said, you know, in my 47 years of life, I've probably heard or had this read or read it in probably 40-some that I remember. It's just a common story. But if we could turn to Luke chapter 2 together, I'd like to read the story, starting in verse 8 and going to the end of verse 14. Luke chapter 2. And it reads, Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, as I read that, I mentioned, I've heard that story. We've all heard the story lots. We know the story, the shepherds in the field, the glory of God, the angels. But the thing that struck me most was verse 14. Where it says, glory to God in the highest. The multitude of angels are giving glory to God in the highest. And their message is, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. A short phrase, not very long, takes a few seconds to repeat, but I can see the angels singing. Bright shining light. They're praising God. But what does it actually mean when they say glory to God in the highest? What does glory mean when we say glory to God? What are we actually saying? What are we thinking? And I think glory refers to the infinite, the perfection of God, the righteousness of God, the unblemished holiness, separateness, perfection. In the term of righteousness attributed to God, we know that it's about purity. It's about doing it right. There is no wrong. It's about justice. So when the angels are singing glory to God, they're saying in this one word all these attributes that encompass the character of God in heaven. God is their object of praise. No one else. They're not saying praise the shepherds because we're giving you this message. They're saying praise God. They're being very direct, very distinct. They're saying, praise God in the highest. There is none higher. There is no further object of worship. There is God alone. That's the pinnacle. God is the top. Glory to God in the highest. And they continue. They say, and on earth, peace. Peace on earth? What was happening in Israel at the time? The Romans were ruling. There was rebellions. There was wars. There was fighting. It was a violent place. There was not peace on earth from a human perspective. So what were the angels saying? What kind of peace was this? In Luke chapter 19, verses 41, it's just as Jesus is entering Jerusalem. And it's just after the Pharisees called out and said, Jesus, tell these people to stop praising you. And he said, if they stop, the stones will cry out. So I can't stop them. But as it says, as he drew near, this is verse 41 of Luke 19. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. And as Jeremy referenced in Isaiah 40 this morning, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. If you had known in this day the things that make for your peace. Jesus is coming to bring peace, but what kind of peace is he bringing? What kind of peace is he? We know he's not coming to vanquish physical armies. But let's look in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3 says, and you he made alive who were dead. You were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. By nature, meaning we were born into this. By the mere fact of having life and being born into this world, we were natural beasts, people. We were by nature objects of God's wrath. Romans 5, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were enemies of God by nature. Enemies. Enemies when we think of a war, when we think of the things we see on the news. In the Ukraine, there's enemies. There's people fighting. There's no peace. But it says, the angel sang, and on earth there was peace, and on earth peace. So what kind of peace? In Romans 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, we have peace. By faith, we are no longer natural. We are more than natural. We are spiritual. And by that faith, we have peace. Back to Ephesians 2, verse 14. And I love Paul because he spells out the angel's song so clearly here. He explains it to me. Verse 14, he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace. Not just something he did, but he himself, his very life, his very body is our peace. John 15 talks about the vine and the branch being in Jesus. So by Jesus being our peace, him very self, and by a believer being in Jesus, we share in that peace. And the third part of the song, which I like to call it, the goodwill towards men. Anytime I read the word good now, I can't help but think of the story of the rich young ruler going up to Jesus and saying, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answers with a question, "Why do you call me good? Only God, our Father in heaven, is good." I can't help but think of that. So this goodwill, I think of our Father in heaven. And will, when I think of the word will, I think of the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done." So God is good. His will towards men, towards us, towards people, is what the angels are singing and praising God about. God's will. Well, what does God's will look like? And back to Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts." The will of God is to pour out his love into the hearts of people. Days as a young Christian, what's the will of God? What's the will of God? What's the will of God? Well, the will of God here is that God is pouring out his love into my heart, into our hearts, to those who believe. The will of God is good. A little further in Romans 5, verse 10, the second part of it says, "So much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." We're reconciled, meaning made right. We received that. We didn't do that. God did that. God's will did that. Verse 18 says, "Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation," speaking of Adam, "even so through one man's righteous act," and it says here, "the free gift." This free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So God's goodwill is a free gift, his free gift of pouring out his love to us. That's an amazing thing. I read that and I think, what did I do here? What did I do here? God is good. He's being glorified. I did nothing. He helped me believe. He then poured out his love into my heart. No wonder the angels were singing glory to God in the highest. Look what God did. This is astounding. This is the message of Christmas. I can no longer read a Christmas card that says peace on earth without thinking about this now. This is peace on earth that I have a hard time doing to my own family at times, let alone to people in general. But God did this while I was still his enemy, while I was under his wrath. Truly, truly amazing. In Colossians 1, verse 19. This is just a beautiful verse. The way Paul writes it, it says, For it pleased the Father that in him, his Son Jesus, all the fullness, speaking of the deity, all the good characteristics of God should dwell. It pleased God. It gave him pleasure, contentment, joy, satisfaction. It pleased God. We're getting to know God's heart. I sometimes think God the Father gets a bad rap. I think of him as this removed deity that is not personal, that is distant, cold, the architect of something that only was put in place by Jesus. But here I see a soft, a tender, a caring, a loving, a pleased Father. "To reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And the end of verse 20 says, "having made peace through the blood of his cross." The cost of peace, what the angels were singing about peace on earth, was not not just something that was cheap and easy. It cost Jesus' life. In Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah refers to him as the Prince of Peace. It's an interesting title when somebody is given a title of royalty, because it means power, authority, honor. So the Prince of Peace, Jesus, in his humble state, gave his life for us. He had power to be more than this humble sheep. He had power to destroy his enemies, and yet he didn't, for our sake, the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 53, you shouldn't say common, but maybe it's for me, I find myself reading it time and again. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. The chastisement, the discipline, the rebuking, the pain and suffering was put on Jesus for us. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And the angels are singing this to God in heaven. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So this Christmas season, as we hear this, and we'll hear it in songs, we'll see it even in advertisements. We might even say it to each other or to friends and neighbors. Peace on earth. The peace on earth came at a cost. The peace on earth that God designed and provided for us. When it comes right down to it, I find for myself, I can't really think much more than glory to God in the highest. And I could just say glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, because I didn't do this. God did this. Glory to God in the highest. This is amazing. Glory to God in the highest. He did this. He really did this. Glory to God in the highest. I think we're going to sing this shortly, but the Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and because as I previously mentioned, I won't try singing this, but I will read it, because I don't want George to cock his head at me again. Maybe he didn't know. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. God and sinners reconciled because of God's great mercy, his great love for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how awesome and mighty are your deeds. That in your great wisdom and perfection, you provided a way for us to be right with you. Not by our thoughts, not by our effort. In fact, I don't think there is any human mind that could conceive of a way that would cost the life in the most unpeaceful way so that we could come to you, that we could be found in you. You've given us this peace for your glory. So we worship you. We thank you. Holy Spirit, these words from your scripture, make them real. Make them powerful in our lives. Give us a desire to not just know them as knowledge, but to live them, to share them, to tell others, to tell each other here, but also to tell others in this world, to tell others this beautiful message of your great love. We thank you. We love you because of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.